around it, like the poor Thanksgiving holiday, you know, that just kind of is losing ground and not being paid very much attention to because holidays 1 and 2 that are the most expensive holidays in the year, that's a fact, you know, more money is spent on Christmas and Halloween than any other time in the year. These are 1 and 2 year after year after year after year. And so it's not a surprise why so much of a push is being made on these holidays. And so what kind of gets left out, what kind of gets under paid attention to is, you know, the Thanksgiving holiday. And there are some things like that live in our Christian lives. And that's really my whole purpose for mentioning any of this morning. I want to set the stage of what I'm thinking about and what I'm talking about. When we go through this list of 3 items that oftentimes in our rush to do other things gets left out of our consideration. The first of those is your attitude. Your attitude is something that's very, very important. It doesn't always get the attention that it deserves. We're far better. We're far more comfortable. We prefer much more adjusting other people's attitudes than spending any time or attention on our own attitude. That has been a common experience throughout time. People want to spend more time telling you how you need to be rather than thinking about how they need to be. And it's very unfortunate that in our race to spend our attention and time on other things, we scarcely think about ourselves. And we never stop to think critically about ourselves. Typically, when we do think about ourselves, it's always self-affirming. I'm right because I think this way. This is a right opinion to have. And somebody who has a different opinion is wrong. I am right. They are wrong. I have thought about myself, my attitude, and it all checks out. I'm A-okay. Well, maybe not. Perhaps that's not the case. People are often criticized for being dogmatic, you know, and I was intrigued. Once upon a time, I was intrigued at that particular criticism, and, you know, I did some thinking and some reading, and you know what being dogmatic means? It means to believe in a certain set of principles. And I thought to myself, everybody I know is that. Everybody I know believes in a certain set of principles. Even if the certain set of principles you believe in are really, really bad, even if they're poor, even if your principles are rather unprincipled morally, you still believe in and are guided by that set of principles. And I hate to break it to you, that makes you a little dogmatic about those things that you believe are right. That's all the thing means. But it is so much more self-aggrandizing. It is so much more self-soothing if we can blame somebody else for being this way and ignore the fact that, you know, we have our own personality and we have our own idiosyncrasies. We have our own attitude that presents itself in different ways, and maybe everybody loves you. Maybe you are a blessed person whom everybody just completely loves. Probably not, but maybe you are, and if so, congratulations to you, because that is a rare feat indeed to achieve. But probably the way you are is liked by some people and not particularly liked by other people. Maybe the way that you are is something that other people are attracted to, and then maybe the way that you are is something that other people are not attracted to. You know, all that means is that you're an individual. You are unique. You knew that, right? And sometimes we need to spend more time thinking about our attitude, our own personality, our own quirks, and not just race right past that in a hurried up way to think about somebody else. The Bible lets us know that we are risen to walk in newness of life. Becoming a Christian, Romans chapter 6, verse 4, changes things. It changes us. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says, If you're risen with Christ, you have a new mission, a new aim. You have new programming. And if you are risen with Christ, you should seek those things which are above. There's a different kind of way for Christians to live. And we don't spend enough time thinking about the way we are supposed to be. We spend ample time thinking about how they are supposed to be. But we need to spend more time thinking about our attitude, because it's a part of who we are. It's a big part of who we are, and who we are is a part of the overall body that is the Lord's. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 paints this beautiful picture of the Lord's church, His universal church all over the world, being like a body. And if some members of that body don't function correctly, if some members of that body go on protest, if some members of that body are mad or upset with other members of that body, you have a bad situation. You have something that is far, far less than the ideal. And there comes a time where we have to stop expecting everybody else to change and bend to the things that we want. And we, ourselves, and our attitude have to change and bend to others, and especially to the Lord. I love something that the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 15. Paul is talking about a unique situation that the church then was facing. It's not an item of discussion these days anymore, but it was in Paul's day, and it was the issue of eating meats offered to idols. And it is such an illuminating topic into just the way people think, the way people act, the way the Lord takes a look at things. This issue of eating meats offered to idols, it was really a non-issue. Paul, in his inspired truth that he reveals, says, do it, don't do it, no big deal. But for some Christians who were processing all of this, it was a big deal. It was a very big deal. And some Christians had strong dogmas, opinions, feelings. They had strong principles on one side. And others had strong principles, dogmas, feelings on the other side. And God's whole purpose here is for the church not to fracture over such. This is a matter that was very much in the area of Christian liberty. There's a reason why this is an issue that is talking about eating meats offered to idols and not baptism or other points of principle truth that the Lord has revealed. Those we have to stand fast on. But in other areas, there can be difference in these situations. Only when we're allowing of that and tolerant of that. And so much of that work has to be done in between your own ears, in between my own ears, in between our own personal head. We have to spend some time thinking about ourselves and making improvements along the way. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, that we must have the mind of Christ. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, 2 Corinthians 10, 5 is a passage that has kind of been applied in a broad swath of ways, but it lets us know that we need to bring our thoughts under subjection. We need to bring our thoughts into captivity. We need to work on ourselves. It's really ourself that we can only work on best. You know, we can't make somebody else do something else. We can't go into somebody else's brain and make them a different person, make them see things differently or have a different personality altogether. We can't do that. And I don't think I want to live in a world where we could do that. That'd be very bizarre. What we can do, what we have to do, is focus on ourselves and not rush right past that as we think about something else. Christ should have made a big improvement to your life. Christ should have made a big impact in your life. You should be a better, happier, more peaceful person because of Christ. I mean all of that. And I'm talking to you as an individual and challenging you to think about the impact that Christ has had on your life. It seems very bizarre to me, very bizarre indeed, for somebody who is relatively unimpacted by Christ to attempt to share Jesus with others. And I think perhaps that is a major reason for our evangelism crisis that's currently going on in the church worldwide. Is we have not yet fully been converted to the Lord. We have not fully yet been aided and helped and blessed by the Lord. We're still the same sour, negative, unhappy, worried person that we were before Christ. And so we don't have any motivation to get out and talk to others about the Lord. And people don't see a better you. One of the reasons why people may not see a better you is because you're not spending enough time making yourself better. It doesn't happen automatically. You don't become a better Christian by putting other people down. You don't become a better Christian by talking about and exposing the wrongs that everybody else is doing. Is there a time and place for that? Yes. And I shouldn't even have to mention that. You know the answer to that question is, oh yes, there's a time and a place for that. But you don't become a better Christian by talking about what other people should be doing. You become a better Christian by stopping all that nonsense and spending some quality time thinking about yourself and not just rushing right past that like a lot of people this time of year seem to be doing with Thanksgiving, rushing right past that to get to the next big exciting thing. There are people who do that in their own personal lives. And one of the reasons why people may not see a better, improved you in the Lord is because you are not spending that necessary time working on yourself. And so your efforts to teach others, you can forget about that. As a matter of fact, let me push this idea a little farther. How dare you talk to somebody else about the Lord and what the Lord can do for them, and what kind of life they can have in Christ, and the salvation that they can have. How dare you talk about that with somebody else if you haven't first done a whole lot of self-talk about that? If you are a negative Christian, if you are riddled with worry, I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad about worrying occasionally or being moody or depressed at times. Listen, we all go through those melancholy periods. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm not offering, you know, mental health diagnosis up here. But I'm saying, how dare you try to take the gospel that can bless somebody's life fully if you haven't allowed it to fully work on you first? We're so much in a hurry to do what we do, hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and then we stop working on ourselves. A lot of times churches stop working on you after you hear, believe, repent, confess, and are baptized. A lot of times, and this is an area where many churches need to improve on, hear, believe, repent, confess, and are baptized, and then all the attention stops. It just slams, stops. And we fail to realize that there's a whole lot more work that needs to be done. There's a whole lot more work that needs to be done on ourselves after we have been baptized. We're risen to walk in newness of life. The verse on the screen says, Romans 6:4, that ought to let us know that we're just getting started. We're just getting started. Working on ourselves, we're just getting started. But a lot of times, all of that momentum stops, and we turn our attention to everybody else around us. We race past the hard work of working on ourselves. Don't do that. Don't do that. Another area in which this is done is worship. Worship is a golden opportunity to reconnect with the Lord. Worship is something that is very important. A lot of people don't think it's important. That perhaps sounds strange to you this morning at this church service. Worship is something that preachers talk about. It's something that elders talk a lot about. But after that, it just kind of bottoms out, and a lot of people don't spend the quality time and attention thinking about it that they should. I'm going to preach a whole sermon on attendance. I've been asked to do that. I'm looking forward to working on that sermon. Let me tell you what it will be right now. We must attend these worship services. That shows the Lord how much He means to us. Somebody who's absent from your life, somebody who's just dropped off, and you know, maybe a high school friend, maybe a college friend, maybe a childhood friend of some kind or another, and you've lost contact. That implies, that means something. That lets you know that relationship was not as full. You don't do that with your children. You don't, not in healthy relationships, you don't. You don't do that with your spouse, not in healthy relationships, you don't. You just drop off and disappear for, you know, 10, 20 years. But that happens frequently with the people we grow up with. Our presence is a signal of the Lord's value, His worth in our life. And if I can't get you to come to church services based on that, let me try another way. Hebrews 10:25 says you have to. There are a lot of people who run around saying, well, technically we don't have to come to these church services, I would strongly caution any one of us from trying to get away with some sort of technicality with God. I don't think the Lord's impressed with how much we know if we run around telling preachers and elders, technically I don't have to do this, you know. I don't think the Lord's impressed by that approach at all. I think the Lord wants to see our heart, and He does see our heart by the actions that we take, by the things that we do, by the things that we give our money to, by the things that we give our attention to. I had a guy on Facebook not too long ago tell me, you know, studies have shown that after about 20 minutes, you lose people's attention, and that's why sermons and church services need to be shorter. And I said, oh, yeah? He said, yeah, they've studied it. And I said, tell me about the football games you're going to watch later on today. Well, he had a whole bunch of them he was going to watch. By the way, more than 20 minutes worth of football games he was going to watch. Blew my mind. Not really. But he had multiple football games, every one of which was longer than he was telling me a service should last. How about the movie, the last movie you've seen? Or the next movie you're gonna see? You wanna see some of these blockbuster movies coming out this year? How about it? Which one are you going to? I guess you won't be going to any of them, because studies have shown that you're not gonna be able to hold your attention for more than 20 minutes. Poor fella. No. He stopped talking. He had to go watch football, I guess. He stopped with that conversation, I suppose. The way we are in worship and about worship is sending a direct message to God about how much we love Him, about what we think of Him. Sad thing is, many typical Christians, pardon the shorthand expression, many typical Christians only think about God and their responsibilities to Him when we're in settings like this. I mean, this is the time where we are really focusing, where we are really thinking about what we need to be doing after we leave this place. When we leave, that's when the work begins. This is not supposed to be the only time we think about God. This is supposed to be just when we kind of grade the papers and get things back on track so that we can go out there in a world that desperately needs us to think about God and do for God and get busy there. That's where the work is. This shouldn't be the sum total of our Christianity. If the only thing you've got going for yourself as a Christian is, well, I come to the worship services, I'm afraid that might not be good enough. I'm afraid that might not be good enough, because we are supposed to come to these services and we're supposed to be here so we can make a difference out there. The Lord wants us to do this. He is reading our heart by these actions. And a lot of times this is raced right past. You know, we don't think about this area because we're off in our minds thinking about other things, and this one gets blocked out. I have a third one for you this morning. This is not a comprehensive list, but I'm thinking about Christian contentment. Philippians chapter 4, Philippians is an interesting look into the Apostle Paul's life. It's a remarkable book, as we've pointed out, and
Wednesday night Bible studies past. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 11, the Apostle Paul makes truly an amazing statement when he says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. Paul was a man who found happiness wherever he was. He was a man who found contentment wherever he was. You know what is the enemy of contentment? Comparison. Many Christians in their lives, they make the good the enemy of the great. And what I mean by that is they're having a good day, but they're not having a great day. And because they're not having a great day, their good day doesn't seem so good. Have you ever been there? You're having a good meal, but it's not a great meal. And because it's not a great meal, you think it could be better. And that spoils the experience. That is like a thief that comes in and robs. He's not picking your pockets and getting dollars out. He's picking your mind and he's getting happiness out. And it's just making you more of a drained person. Because the good is the enemy of the great. I can't be happy with what I have because somebody out there has something way better. My cell phone that, you know, I thought was just fine is now not so fine anymore because they sent me a message that I could get a better one. And so now the one that I'm happy with, I'm not so happy with it anymore. Same with my car, same with your house, same with everything. And if we just play that game, well, it'll wear us out. It'll burn us out. It will dim our Christian light. I was giving a review for a product on my phone. And they said, hey, rate this, 1 to 5 stars. And I looked at how they broke down 1 to 5. And number 4 was, it was good, but it could have been better. And I was thinking, that's everything. That's life. Good, but it could be better. If we focus on the could be better part, we forget about the whole part that says it was good. And that's not where the Lord wants us to live, by the way. The Lord has given us every tool to have a happy, fulfilling, abundant life. John 10:10. The whole purpose of Jesus' mission for us on this side of our relationship with Him is to have a fulfilling, abundant life that is characterized by contentment. We have a responsibility to be content. The Apostle Paul sets the bar high when he says, I've learned to be content with whatever life dishes out. I mentioned to you that Philippians was a very unique book, and Philippians 4:11 is an amazing verse. Here's why. Paul wrote these words while he was in prison. Talk about a man who found happiness in the least likely of places. Paul was in prison, unjustly, we might add. And he writes to these Christians to give them the tools to help solve their own problems. Sometimes when people are going through rough patches in life, they lash out. I can't help with your problems. I've got so much on my own plate. Apostle Paul was in prison, and he wrote to this church, and in chapter 4 of Philippians, he talks to a couple of members of this church to get it together, to work it out. Paul found it. And you can find it too in the same place that Paul found it, Christ. Paul was a member of the Lord's church, and as such, life was not always perfect for him, but everything fell into a perspective that made sense. You can be blessed with that today if you hear, believe, repent, and confess, and are baptized. That's what washes away sins. That's what is described as the new birth in which you are risen to walk in newness of life, a life that needs to spend some quality time thinking about yourself. Not just thinking about other people, but thinking about yourself. Making the hard changes inside of you so that you can be a better person. That's what Jesus offers. And you can claim it if you're ready to. If you're a member of the Lord's church, this is what you've already begun. A life that works on itself. A life that tries to be better. And that means something. Trying to be better is not lip service. Trying to be better is hard work. Are you doing it? I hope so. Think about that, and if we can help, let us know while we stand and sing. Won't you come, please?
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.